This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Hey there, Tom. It's the Prince of Snarkness. How you doing today? Just want to say in auto-tune that you are a little bitch.
What the hell?
Yeah, you're a bitch for real.
That's great. Okay, well, all right. Is there more?
Did you think I was done, bitch?
That's it.
So I have to ask you, because I almost bought the IMTPain app, but it turns out I don't think you can. Is that how you did it?
I found a different free app that I could use because I also searched for the IMTPain app, but it's not in the app store. So I don't know.
I have some information on this. Let's just get right into it. Let's introduce our guest for this episode. We have Ryan Beck. We're psyched. We're talking T-Pain. Ryan, how are you?
Before Howdy, we boys.
Talking T-Pain, let's talk Ryan. How's Ryan today?
Ryan's good. I'm good. I'm fine.
let's get a plug in for you right up top. Ryan is recording an album at Union Hall where we just did our live Stand By Your Band. Tommy, what do you think? Let's hash this out right here. Should we put that on the main feed of the Patreon?
It's a tough call. Yeah.
Some people said some things that I don't know if they want on the main feed. You know what I mean?
Well, if you're listening and you want to hear it, sign up for the Patreon.
Yes, get in there.
That's great incentive. I like how the plug for me turned into a plug for your Patreon.
That's enough out of you, Ryan. We've had enough of Ryan today. And no. what is the date of your,
yes, your recording? That's why I kind of spiraled there because I just I really am like, wow, I'm a week out. So it's August 19th.
Great.
Is the date of the album. We've got two shows. I want to pack the place out. It's yet to completely sell out. Like they're moving, but I really want to ramp this thing up. So I'm like at a point where there's like nothing I can do other than like hope now. Uh-huh. Because the show, I'm like, the show's done. I'm really happy with it. And it's like where you want, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now I can't, it's to the point where the things that I can control are like out of my ability now. Yeah.
I have some questions for you. First of all, I want to give a huge rec for this because Ryan's one of my favorite comics to watch.
Yes.
He's a solid fucking comic. And
thanks, man.
Whenever I am, at the Cellar in Europe and I'm just like, hell yeah, I get to watch some stand up that I enjoy. I'm not going to give it away, but your bit about ordering with your lady is so funny.
Thank you.
She asked you to, she's like, I'll go next, as if that would give her time to think of something. Very funny. I highly recommend checking out Ryan. If you can't make it to the album recording, get that album as soon as you can. But
it's going to be on our Patreon, by the way.
Yeah, we will be putting it on our Patreon. There will be the Ryan Beck album tier, $100 a month, and it's the only thing that will be on that tier. You don't get our podcast.
And I don't get any of that, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
I thought
you
so.
Get exposure.
Yeah.
So that'll be good for you.
Maybe I'll get a little percentage of the of what you buy to put up there, you know.
Yes,
of the digital files. So
here's what you will get. You will get a discount on that tier, Ryan.
Oh, good. Yeah.
you get to pay $98 for that tier. When you set out to make this album, what is your what is because I'm doing this too, but I'm aiming for next year because I'm in a pickle, and I'm thinking about just doing two EPs instead of doing one big album. I'm thinking of doing like two 25 minute albums because I have all this old shit that's not anywhere that was on my half hour, but I can't. Those are buried. So you've worked with Comedy Central, you know how it is, and it's impossible to find it. So I want that material to be on radio. So it's like I feel weird putting that and the new stuff on the same album. Feels very weird to me.
Well, you could definitely do like a two-sided thing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put it out at once. True.
That's a good point. Maybe I'll do that. That's not bad. At what point were you like, this is a full piece? Like this is
goes together
into one album.
The way the whole album thing came together was I had a couple singles on the radio. I was fortunate enough to, have 800 pounds.
Hot 100. Sure.
Yeah. But the singles were doing pretty well. And I thought that was really cool. And they were like, if you ever wanted to do a full album, let us know. And I had a call with 800 Pound Gorilla.
Hell yeah.
Records, a great record company.
That's who I'm going with too.
Yeah. They're wonderful guys over there and the really pro artists and just, they do a great job. So, I had a call with them. I was like, let's do it. And then, I didn't really have in mind what it was going to be. I just knew that this is something that I would like to do. And so I signed it, the deal, March of 2020. So I was like, okay.
So what's taking you so long to record? Procrastinating ass.
But I found the show. I really found the show. I always have always done a lot of, this is silly, but people always ask you to like, what's your comedy about? And it's like anything that's funny, really. And I have jokes about things, but for the most part, like it's all things about whatever I'm going through in my life, because I find jokes in conversation or like things like that with my wife or with my friends or whatever. So the show became like when I found out that, my parents were going through stuff health wise and I was feeling like I'm getting older. I got married. We had a pandemic and now we're expecting our first child. So my wife and I, there's just a lot there. And I was like, okay, so I have six jokes about this, six jokes about this, six jokes about this. And then I started to move it all around and the hour came together that way. And I was like, oh, this is like really fun to tell. And it felt more like a show than I'd ever really felt like I'd had before. There's a difference of doing like a collection of jokes. And I think in New York City, especially, you do a collection of jokes for 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then to build out the whole hour, like I've personally felt like I've taken a big leap forward and I'm very excited to do it. And so that is why I hope anyone's there to see it.
Yes. Get out there. And I have to ask, because you mentioned that sometimes you find material in conversations. You're not going to use any of this stuff for your skits, are you? Because that's all that you will have to pay us for. If you take anything from this little conversation that we're going to have today and you use it for those little skits,
it's going to be on my Patreon.
So we tipped this already, but there was an app. I was doing some research on T-Pain. Not the app that Tommy used or the website or whatever to make that intro, but I was going to try to play with the app on the show, but, I'm glad that you did this. So, I didn't have to even spend the $3, but yeah, it's not even possible because, so here's what happened. T-Pain developed an app, with this karaoke company, basically, called I Am T-Pain, and I watched a commercial for it, and it showed like people of all ages. Like it showed this old man who's just like, I am 65. And it's very goofy.
I love the idea of a commercial for an app. We've really come so far now. Yeah. Now they're like just signs that they don't explain what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a long commercial too. It's like 5 minutes long. It's a YouTube commercial, but it's still a commercial. And it looked cool, but then apparently T-Pain decided he didn't like the app anymore like a year later and sued them for them using his name because he wanted to develop a new app that was T-Pain voice related. It's like, you can't just decide to sue the company that you were working with and say, like, you can't use my name. I'm now going to steal your idea and do it with another company. It's crazy.
But yeah, that's nuts.
I don't think it worked out for him because I searched T-Pain app and it doesn't seem like the second iteration worked either. But I like that.
What year was the app?
I want to say it was 2011. I've got a lot of different.
Sounds about right. That's like, did one of you guys have a joke about how apps used to not be apps? Like they weren't like, now they're like do things. But like at the beginning, it was just like, oh, it looks like you're drinking a beer. And that's like what the phone was like. Oh, this is why we get smartphones. Cause the screen looks like a beer.
No, but that's not bad. Maybe I will do that.
I thought it was yours, but.
No, that's not mine, but that's funny.
It's just something like,
I see why you thought it was mine.
It's just like now apps are, you know, you have to share your thoughts and things on them. But before it was just like, look at the phone does goofy things.
I love
like
the drinking all novelty. I do remember the beer one and it did. Yeah. You were like, this is fucking awesome. I have to have that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that app would be like, beer chugger wants to use your location. Why would they possibly need that?
That's exactly it.
I guess I'll click always. You can always use it, beer chugger.
They're my emergency contact. Beer chugger knows where I'm at. So.
Yeah, if you find this phone and I'm dead, just click on the beer chugger app and it'll alert my closest family and friends. That's very funny. Yeah, that was a good time for apps. Now it is all like pretty functional. You kind of need all the apps you have. What's the latest app you got that you are like, oh shit, I like this?
Oh, I got one where I can turn on my air conditioner.
Really?
Ooh,
yeah, it's great. Sick. You're out of the house. You're like, oh, it's a little hot. And then you go, boop. And then you walk in and it's nice and breezy.
That is sick.
That's what it should be, right? But if it also looked like my air conditioner was chugging a beer, that'd be sick.
That would be better. See, I have the AMC theater app, and I really like that they have a function where you can link up with the soda machine and you can pick your soda and all that stuff and press a button to pour your soda from your phone. It's truly the most worthless app there's ever been, but it's I'm excited to use it.
I've got one that you pay for gas through your phone instead of just using your card. It's the BP app. And the only reason I signed up for it was because they gave me 30 cents off every gallon. Mm. And I was like, I'll use your dumb app this one time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And now they have your data for
everything. Now they have all my data. Yep. Yeah. They know where I like to buy gas once.
What are you going
to
do next? Get the vaccine? Jeez. Oh, right. I did that because on our live show, I did a bit where I was like, yeah, I haven't been feeling good. I'm thinking about getting that vaccine. And then I just like the guy who's like, does think it works. He's just like, yeah, I'm just lazy. I'm going to get around to it though. But I obviously have the vaccine. It's great, but
it's great.
Last night I did the bit where I said like I was at Littlefield and I was like, maybe I'll get that vaccine, and people got really upset and I was like, I'm clearly kidding. They make you prove that you have the vaccine to get in here. Like,
yeah, they're all in masks and everything. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. But you know,
again, we're in a terrifying time. Maybe I shouldn't make jokes like that.
No, that's fine. This is when you're supposed to make jokes, is on stage at the comedy place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where you're just supposed to say things that people go like, I agree.
Oh, interesting. Cause that seems to be what a lot of comedians at that place like to do. And it seems to be working. No, I'm kidding. It was actually a very fun show. And a great, great little crowd. But, moving on, let's get into T-Pain here because there's a lot to cover. I'm pissed because I just found out right before we started recording that T-Pain was on Drink Champs like 3 days ago, and it would have been a great thing to listen to before this because it sounds like he had a lot of information that he gave out on it that was. I watched a little clip and he was being very funny on it, and I was like,
he is really funny. That's the thing. There's so many things that people don't know about T-Pain, which makes him all the more likable. Sometimes you find out more things about artists almost always the musical artists, you find more information about them and you're like, man, this makes every, it makes enjoying their music harder. Anything I've learned about T-Pain, it always makes me like that much happier.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He's legitimately funny. He's a great dancer. People don't know that.
I did not know that.
He was the singing voice of Tom the Cat in the new Tom and Jerry movie.
That's going to be a ding against him, my man.
Come on, man. That's fun.
That movie fucking sucked.
He's working. He's working.
And I mean, he won the Masked Singer.
I would have been the... He did? He won the Masked Singer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's. I was just about to ask if he was on the Masked Singer or Dancing with the Stars or some shit.
He was. He was on the Masked Singer... At the height of the Masked Singer, he was like the second season where it was like, oh, wow, what is this show?
Right.
And he beat like Gladys Knight or something like that.
Damn.
He had a really funny quote about it because this is his quote. He said, when they pitched the show to me, I was like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. But they convinced me to do it. And then he ended up winning.
Convinced. Yeah. That's great. And then he ended up winning.
Yeah. And he said,
so funny.
He said it was like this big, like redeeming, like fuck you moment for him too. Just because everyone says he can't sing.
Right.
The Masked
Singer. Preposterous. But what's funny about the Masked Singer thing is that T-Pain's always knocked for having his voice modulated with the auto tune, which we can get into that. We obviously will get into that later. But for the Masked Singer, the whole idea is that when they're talking to mask their speaking voice, they modulate it.
Yeah.
And then they like, now let's hear them sing with no audio editing of their voice. And so it's just crazy how it's backwards. And it's like, no one had any idea that it was T-Pain.
He must have. So he used his real singing voice. In the Masked Singer. I apologize. I have not.
Yeah, he sang beautifully. He sang all these different songs that like are not typical of the genre that he does. And it was awesome. And every week, like people would be like brought to tears in the audience. It was great. I watched every one of them.
His voice is incredible. Like his normal singing voice. Because I just watched his Tiny Desk concert that a lot of people recommended. Oh. And everyone was saying like it's so good and it totally lives up to the hype. He has an incredible voice. He was very funny and like so affable. And it made me like instantly love him in a way that like I liked Dio when the songs were on. I always thought they were fun, but I never like loved him until I watched that. He also, I didn't realize this until I saw that, he has a giant neck tattoo that just says the word tattoo, which is so funny.
That's great. I might have to, I've never gotten a tattoo. I could never think of a good one. I think I'm just going to copy that exact.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Damn, that's great.
Yeah, but he's a tremendous performer. I went to a T-Pain concert. I saw him live.
Oh, shit.
This was at Clusterfest, Comedy Central Clusterfest.
Oh, yeah.
He did like an entire concert. He was supposed to go on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon outside. Mm-hmm. And he decided that I'm not going to do that. And so then he made a video and posted it on his Instagram of why he didn't do this. Like some people were waiting around, but it was like the festival is going on, you know?
Dude, the 3 p.m. shit. Because I was crazy there 1 year when that was happening. And it's like, and no offense to Clusterfest, but it's like, that is such a waste of so much talent to have a 3 p.m. out in that field. Like it just did not. And you should have like lower. You should just have like lower names on that stage during then. Cause nobody was out there. I was out there during those days. Cause I was like, had nothing to do for half of my time there. So I was just like, fuck it. I'll go play mini golf or whatever they had out there. And it was like, yeah, they should be putting on fuck doing comedy on that big stage, just make it a music stage. And like, that's it.
Well, this is what T-Pain knew. He figured it out. I think he did it right because it was the Friday. And so Friday at 3, they were going to have the music and then they're going to have a big comedy show outdoors later. And so what they did instead was because he saw he wasn't going to do it. Like the next day, Third Eye Blind played the afternoon concert and it was like fine because it was like, people came out and, you know, Third Eye Blind's not playing a show that you need to dance and need to like really be drinking a ton and like really, you know, get rowdy. T-Pain at 3 o'clock in the afternoon outdoors it's a little weird. It's a little like state fair when everything just would depress you. So he's like, he made an Instagram or a Snapchat or something where he was like, T-Pain doesn't perform in the outdoors. T-Pain doesn't perform in the daytime. I'm a nighttime cat. And then he like went. And so they moved the entire, he closed that night of the festival. And so they closed the comedy festival with music that night. And it was so much better because we'd all just like laughed at like Jon Stewart or whatever. And then we went inside to the, you know, the whatever that is, the big one. convention center.
Yes.
And then it was just totally packed, and it was the T-Pain concert, and it was dark, and there were lasers and whatever else. And it started at like 11 and like went into like 1 a.m. And it was like the best way to end a night of like drinking and laughing. It's to just like have all this great music. And this guy's, he's truly a great performer. He dances. He's so good at dancing. He's bouncing around the stage. You can't help but get hyped up. It's awesome.
Hell yeah. Wait, yeah. Was that the same year Schumer was there?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I was there, I think, and I just missed that completely. That sucks. That's yeah. Really funny. Yeah, that's good for him, man, because you're totally right. That's such a bad vibe during the day. And yes, Third Eye Blind should be playing that spot. Absolutely. But yeah, you don't want to be hearing like I'm going to buy you a drink.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock. No, it doesn't work.
Speaking of that, we should probably get into some music, but first we have a regular segment to get to. I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of shocked that our boy Sim went in on this
one. I'm also surprised.
I will say this. What I told, and to Jared's credit, I told him like an hour before the show, and I said, we're doing T-Pain in like an hour. He goes, should I know one of his songs? And I was like, you probably have heard them at some point. But then the next message was a voicemail. So this is our regular segment where we hear.
Have you listened to this yet?
I have not listened to it. I like to listen to them live. And also sometimes I risk losing the voice memo if I listen to it before.
Well, so, I'll tell you, I think that Jared would like some T-Pain songs, depending on which one he listened to, is going to determine the contents of this message.
I have to tell you, I cannot imagine a world where he would enjoy T-Pain, but I am curious. He is our resident snob, but you know, he's surprised us before and surprised us recently. So I could be totally wrong. I thought he was like softer on Dave Matthews Band than he would be. So I'm very curious to hear what he's going to say about T-Pain, but here's They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? This week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have Ryan Beck on defending T-Pain. So this is one that I would normally skip. Unfortunately, there's been several bands or artists that I just don't know anything about recently. So haven't called in a few times, but I don't know anything about T-Pain. I asked Tom, what are the songs I'm supposed to know? And he said, Buy You a Drink. I'm sorry that I said drink. I don't feel like I'm not supposed to be the one to say that, but I don't know that song. I did come across one that I did know called By You or Me or Whoever a Stripper. I had heard that one. So the reason I'm calling, though, is because this is really funny to me, because Ryan Beck is like literally in my whole life of everyone that I've ever met. He's, and people will say this, and certainly I know this is, he's definitely in the top two or three. This is just the whitest person. And I'm saying this, like, this is not a cut down. I mean, he just exudes absolutely nothing about him whatsoever that he's ever met a black person ever. And
what?
Just imagining him like for fun, listening to this, to T-Pain, and like potentially even like singing along like some words that he definitely shouldn't say. And like,
oh, come on,
drank earlier. Like, it's not, I'm not really supposed to be saying it. So, you know, he makes me look like I'm from like Kenya. So I just can't even envision this in any way. So I'm going to listen to this. I really wonder what the depth is here. So anyway, all right, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business, because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
That's not about T-Pain at all. That
Kenya thing, Jared. I did know when he went into that windup of he's one of the top like two, I knew he was going to say whitest.
Yeah, I was waiting for it too. Yeah. I knew that was coming. And then it's one, it's wrong. I'm Lebanese. My mom was born in Lebanon. I'm okay. So I am just as Middle Eastern as, I don't know, you're Indian.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So this is, so give me a break there. Number two, I don't have to say this, but I know black people, Jared. What is that? What is that?
You heard it here, folks. Ryan knows black people and he's just as Indian as me.
He called in to roast me.
Yeah, he'll do that.
I want Jared to listen to Blame It by Jamie Foxx and T-Pain. That's what I want him to hear.
Yeah. Do we have that on here, right? Is that on the playlist?
That's one of my featuring T-Pain lists. I don't know if that's on there.
Let me see here. I have your playlist here. I do think we should get into some music. I'm hoping that one's on here.
I'm glad Jaron called in though. I'm happy that.
Yeah, like I said, he when he doesn't know, he takes weeks off sometimes. So I'm glad that he took the time because I think that shows how much he cares for you, Ryan.
Yeah,
because this is one that I think he normally would have skipped. So that song is not on your list here, but let's hear one that is. Do you have a choice on what you think we should open with here?
I think we can go right down the line. This is how I think we got to structure it because, you know, I think I'm Sprung is the first one because that's the first song after the intro, which rocks on Rapaturnt Sanga, excuse me.
Yes.
The intro is awesome. The whole album is really great top to bottom, in my opinion. But then the first song is I'm Sprung. That was the first single. That was the one where the auto-tune kind of like, oh, what is this? This sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then from there, he took the ball and ran with it and was just turning out hits. So I'm Sprung is what I want to kick off with.
Let's do it. Is there any specific part?
No, I think people know the song.
Yeah, I'm just going to put it on.
And that's no auto tune. Got me doing things I'll never do. If you ain't been, I'm telling you,
you do.
It's just nice.
Yeah. Yeah. His voice does sound good in it. Not bad. Out to Get Me.
It's just nice. That's what I like. It's just a chill, nice song. The whole album is just a lot of like love songs where they just turn up the bass and they, it's nice music. It's smooth. It's fun.
Yeah. I agree.
Hell, I'm Sprung myself.
That's right. Tommy, stay sprung. Ever since we got him that subscription of Blue Chew, this week's episode is brought to you. No, we don't have that. There was a line in this song that I was looking for, but you know what? It's all good.
She's got me doing the dishes. That's how much you sprung.
That is how much you sprung. What happened to the love you had for me? Damn. Yeah, that's a fun song. You really don't deserve me. All you want to do is hurt me. That's kind of how I feel about Tommy. But I got a question for you guys, because I learned this today. This is not related to that song specifically, but I just remembered it. Do you guys know what T-Pain stands for?
I looked it up, so I
know. Oh, I don't. I actually don't know, but I'm afraid.
Yeah, and I was very surprised. It's for Tallahassee Pain. It's about the pain he experienced growing up in Florida, where he was told that he stink. I wrote a thing where he, like, it was just a list of facts about him that were not fun. But there was one where it's like, he was just like, yeah, I smelled really bad all the time. Just like, it's too bad.
He's on that Gyllenhaal shit.
Mm-hmm. Came out as a smelly man.
Jake Gyllenhaal smell?
He said that he doesn't shower a lot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's some shit where it's like, you know how hot you have to be to do that.
You're just like, yeah, that's like something you'd expect from Jared Leto, but not Jake Gyllenhaal.
Damn. Oh, my God.
And, you know, Jared Leto, if you can take 30 seconds to get to Mars, you can take 2 minutes to shower. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, even it sounds like you move pretty fast. So take 15 seconds to shower. Jesus. You don't want to get to Mars and have the aliens think we stink.
Did you read about the golf cart incident, Tom?
No,
you reading about him?
I did not.
So he flipped. He got injured once by flipping over a golf cart. He ended up like losing teeth and like,
oh my God,
he had all these injuries. And the reason that I thought it was funny is that it was this story. And then like 2 days later, he performed and he was still like visibly like messed up from it. And this is what he said. This is his quote from stage. He said, "There's a lot of talk that I flipped over in a golf cart. That's fucking true. It did happen like 3 days ago. My ass is on fire right now. My side hurt. My mouth hurt." I just love that. There's a lot of talk. That
He's a performer. You can't stop him.
It's true. It's true.
Damn. That's really funny. It is fully true. He's clearly, and he just looks so fucked up.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying I flipped over a golf cart. Wait, what is this? I haven't read this yet, so it might be stupid. And this is from a spin.com article that so far the facts have not been great. But I just like the headline of this one. It says, T-Pain is a family man with a twist. What could that mean? It says T-Pain met his now wife Amber way back in 2001, and both say it was love at first sight. By 2005, they were married. T-Pain's ensuing fame created some complications, however, and the singer admits he cheated. But it's all good. Oh, cool spin. I'm glad you decided that. Because it's all good because on a trip to Costa Rica, his wife discovered an interest in women. The two credit their openness with helping save their relationship. He says the rules are I can't have sex with any girls by myself because that would be cheating. And that's it, actually. That was interesting. All right, good. Yeah, damn. His dad is fucked up. Well, that's too bad. Let's hear another song here. The next one on your list is one that I feel like I've heard quite a bit. I like this one too. I have to be totally honest. I've been enjoying this playlist today. I've always had like kind of mixed feelings about T-Pain because I was kind of like the auto-tune isn't totally for me, and then also the era is like right when around like college for me. Mm-hmm. And I would just hear these songs to death. So it's like, it's a little tough, but Bartender was one that I remember thinking was fun. And that is the song that we're going to hear.
So the first one was 2005. Now we're going into 2007. Bartender.
This is exactly. Yep. All right. Here's Bartender featuring Akon.
Broke up with my girl last night, so I went to the club. Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coat sitting on dubs. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love. Show me some love. If you know what I mean. Everybody jacking me as soon as I stepped in the spot. I stepped in the spot. 200 bitches in the building, ain't none of them hot. Ain't none of them hot. Except for this pretty young thing that was working all the way at the top. All the way at the top. Shouted, what is your name? Ooh, she made us drinks to drink. We drunk and got drunk and then I think she thinks I'm cool. She gave me a wink, a wink back. And then I think that we hit it off something proper like.
That's a good one. 200 girls at the bar, ain't none of them hot.
Not a single one. You think by sheer number, there'd have to be one.
I like that. I really like it. I legitimately like it. I'm not here doing a bit. I like this. I think it's really fun. I also understand that it is a very silly lyric to say, she poured us drinks, we drunk them.
She got poured drunk. Us drinks to drink, which is she made us drinks to drink. We drunk them, got drunk. That's funny. I like that. I think that's a good bit. I think it's good. That's clearly him trying to be funny. I think she made us drinks to drink. We drunk them, got drunk. I love that. That's a good time.
And you're like, who's he talking about? Oh, the bartender. Wow. The
bartender. You think this song got like a lot of bartenders hit on inappropriately? Like I feel like a lot of people were like, now I have a shot with the bartender, and they're just like,
well, I don't know, Tom. I feel like bartenders were already getting hit on quite a bit.
No, I don't think people had that thought before. They were like, oh fuck, that's a woman. what am I wasting my time talking to all these girls? This woman has to talk to me.
She's employed. But this is you know, the beginning of or another rendition of when T-Pain is singing about the working class, that he's a hero, you know. Mm-hmm. Bartenders, strippers,
yep,
etc.
Yep. The coal miners. Mm-hmm. I'm at the coal miner. I just had the dumbest thought where I was like, what if a coal miner's only purpose was to mine coal for Santa to give to bad kids? It's like, God, this feels like such a waste of my life, and I'm really breathing in a lot of fumes just for these bad kids to get the point, you know?
Yeah, that's where the elves go when they're in trouble. They're like, oh, you're on coal duty.
Yeah, that's no, but I find that song to be fun. That one never like irritated me. I just always thought that one was kind of funny, and it for some reason I didn't feel like it got overplayed like some of the things that from T-Pain, but I enjoy it. All right, next song here we have is Going Through a Lot.
Going Through a Lot is, see, okay, this is how I wanted to structure this little argument. Yes. Here. We have I'm Sprung, his first hit. We got to understand. Then we got Bartender. Then we've got I'm in Love with a Stripper.
Right.
I believe that one is next.
Wait. Going Through a Lot, that's 5 o'clock is next.
I messed up the order.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
Four and five got switched.
Got you. Never mind.
All good.
Continue.
Bartender. We're going to hear, I think we should hear a little bit of I'm in Love with a Stripper. I don't know if we need to hear that much. I think everybody knows this song, but this is like classic T-Pain stuff. And then I want to show people some of the more of the range that he has, and then something that he's doing that he's done recently, just to show like this guy, he's only churning out hits. We can go over those later. They're all fun. And he has way more depth than I think anybody's going to initially give T-Pain credit for. So, this is I'm in Love with a Stripper.
All right, let's hear. Going Through a Lot is now, right? Are you in here? I'm in Love with a Stripper right now.
Yeah, I don't think we need to hear much of it.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of I'm in Love with a Stripper.
God damn, little mama. You know you thick as hell, know what I'm saying?
fact, after the club, you know what I'm talking about? Me and my niggas gonna be together, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even worried about them really, though. I'm just looking at you. Shit, you know. You got them big ass hips, god damn.
Got the body of a goddess. Got eyes but a pink and brown eyes.
Yeah, people do. Do the night thing.
The night thing. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I did not remember that intro at all.
No, that's, me neither.
That was like completely gone from my memory. I remember the chorus very well, but
maybe they just didn't play that intro when they
there was like a radio edit. Yeah.
Because that one, I didn't remember that either. I assume that's Mike Jones.
It is
saying that shit in the beginning. Yeah.
It's Mike Jones.
Who?
But that's like that's kind of a theme with T-Pain's music is there's a little wind up. I would say I'm Sprung kind of works, the chorus or the like literal chorus of people singing. Mm. And then it kind of gets into it. But that one takes a little bit to ramp up, I think.
Sure. Sure. It's catchy. That's one that I remember being like annoyed by at this mm-hmm. time in my life that I remember. And also I think I didn't like Mike Jones to begin with. And then, yeah, there was something about this one that I just was not feeling today. I like it. I was enjoying his voice more today though. So I was like, I was having a little fun with it.
I think in hindsight, that one's way more enjoyable knowing that he is like a tongue in cheek kind of funny person.
Absolutely.
Like as a legitimate, like this is, I don't know. It's like Jared pointed out. This is, you know, we're different. We're from different cultures. So this is like a little bit of a thing where it's like, okay, I don't know if he's like putting on that he likes to go to strip clubs or whatever, because we know that he's happily married at this point when the right. song comes out and all this yes. other kind of stuff. So I don't know. Is he singing in character? Is he what's going on here? But I just like the song. I think it's really smooth.
I think he's just a smart guy who is like, this is going to work. Like, this mm-hmm. is going to play at strip clubs for sure. And then they're mm-hmm. going to play it at bars and clubs. And it's like just peppy enough, but it's, you know.
And Last Call and all that, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean, absolutely. That's like, and also it's going to sell records because this is prior to streaming.
I think the guy is very smart at marketing himself. And I think he knows what people are trying to hear at a certain time of night when his music is going to play. Mm-hmm. This is I was looking up song facts for I'm in Love with a Stripper, but I found, because it's not on your list, but buy you a drink, parentheses shawty snapping, this is a good example of like him just being him having his finger on the pulse. More ringtones were purchased in 2007 of this tune in America than any other song. 2.3 million ringtones of Buy You a Drink. I also, this was just funny to me, and the song facts for this, it says T-Pain explained the meaning of this song on his Bebo site. This is again Buy You a Drink. He says, basically these days lots of people begin their relationships in the clubs. Whole conversations begin with some guy buying a young lady a drink. I wanted to make a song for those folks. So
great.
It's great. Yeah,
that's great. I left that one off on purpose because I felt like it was just like kind of everyone knows, if you know T-Pain at all. I mean, even Jared knew that song and he's not a T-Pain person.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. I think you did the right thing here. So so we heard I'm in Love with a Stripper just now. We heard a little bit of it. I think we should go ahead and hear Going Through a Lot now.
Yeah. Now this one has like quite a bit of a wind up. So I feel like if you can cue it in a little bit, we're going to hear.
How's this?
Helping me whether they see it or not. from my family. But I still gotta do it, plus I gotta go through all this family hatred. I don't know why everybody's hating me. But I still gotta do it, even one of my homeboys thinking that I'm banging this lady. I don't know why he would think that out of me. But he gotta go through it, through all the nappy heads. I got you, baby, we about to make it, yes indeed.
I really enjoyed that song. I think his voice sounds great in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one that I think is so interesting, just contextually, because it's on his 2005 first album. It's no auto-tune. It sounds great. It very well could have been a single if it wasn't like kind of probably squashed down by the auto-tune ones. Mm-hmm. The I'm in love with a stripper and I'm sprung, right? It's a great song. It's his real voice without any messing around, and also it's like more vulnerable, right? Like you can hear it in the lyrics. He's like talking about his family. He shouts out his former rap group, the Nappy Heads, and it's like, I'm gonna put you guys on when I know this works. And I just like, it's just really, I don't know, it's really catchy and really good, and it's just smack dab in the middle of this rapper turned Sanger album.
Yeah. It's really good. I didn't realize that it was from that big debut, and it might be my favorite song on this playlist. I really enjoyed it. He's, like I said, his voice sounds incredible. And speaking of this album here, you probably already know this, and Tommy, you probably just read it, but if you didn't already know, I didn't know that he got like his big break from Akon because he had a cover of Akon's Locked Up that he changed the lyrics to Fucked Up. Mm-hmm. And Akon got it and gave him like $1 million contract to be on his record label from the head.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird. I feel like you don't hear that very often. Like a guy almost, it's like if somebody, if like Madonna called Weird Al and was like, get over here. You got to get on my label.
Well, I think the rap game's different.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like he's saying it in the song, like he's going to put on his friends. And it's like that happens a lot. That happens a lot in hip hop.
Well, I got in a lot of trouble because I sent Richard Linklater my School of Rock parody, School of Fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he hated it.
And what's crazy is that like it was pretty still PG. Like it was mostly, it got the rated R rating just for the title, but the rest of the movie is like very heartwarming and kid friendly. School of Fuck. All right, let's move on to the next song here. So the next one on the list here would be 5 o'clock, right?
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. This is another instance of him doing something that people maybe would not expect from T-Pain.
Yeah. And this is Lily Allen, you'll hear, and Wiz Khalifa is on this too. Here's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Conversation got boring. You said you'd go into bed soon, so I snuck off to your bedroom, and I thought I'd just wait there until I heard you come up the stairs, and I pretended I was sleeping, and I was hoping. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I want you, and you want me, don't you? I can see it. You've been waiting on me since I said that I was hitting the club. Sun be coming up on me, and I know you be getting so horny. Cause you be sending me texts like, boy, just get your ass up in that car and come get all of this love. You ain't gotta remind me. She already said if I don't come on time, she might go crazy. And she'll be waiting on me naked with one of my chains on. She might come and find me. Me kindly, do I want her to go crazy? We do this every night, and then we always wake up singing the same song. 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Conversation got boring.
I like that. Lily Allen sounds great in it too.
Well, yeah, she sounds really great.
And that's from her song called Who'd Have Known. That's it's just like a song of hers that,
yes,
I guess, I don't know how they got together, but he must have heard it and been like,
gotta have it. Dido gotta style. Have it.
Yeah.
Dido Eminem style. I love that. It works well with that song. It's great. I really like that one too. That was up there for me as well.
Yeah. And that's just one where it like speaks to him being a great producer and seeing what's going to work. And I think that like sometimes with a lot of the people that people, you know, artists that people come onto your podcast that have to defend is like, I think sometimes it's a little dismissive of like the background work that goes into making a song, even when it's not exactly what people want to hear. But it's like, this guy's a great producer. He's written tons of stuff. He's churned out so many hits and was part of so many hits. There was like 5 summers in a row where it was like that T-Pain. If T-Pain was on the song, it's going to go top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. He
deserves his flowers.
The Dallas Observer. Someone wrote an article trashing this song.
What?
The article is called "The Problem with T-Pain's 5 O'Clock," which is like, why is this a whole article?
I can't wait to hear some of this.
So we've got this guy saying, it's like, he's talking about how he thinks T-Pain's like ruining Lily Allen's beautiful voice. It's basically what he says. It's like hearing a car alarm go off during a candlelit dinner. That's what he says.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah. Then he
have says, you guys eaten by candlelight?
I never have.
There's always other lights on.
Well, maybe
always,
I haven't.
There's always other lights on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I'm sure I've been at tables with candles on them. Well, I was in this mansion with a bunch of people and I ended up murdering someone with a candlestick.
Right.
Which room? Which room?
In the damn studio.
You do have Professor Plum vibes.
Yeah, that website, the Dallas Observer, is not a good website to navigate. So I'm going to let the rest of that article be. But
it sounds like that is the kind of a newspaper that would like run things like, was January 6th that bad?
Yeah, so it definitely has that vibe. And they should have been observing something in 1963, November 22nd.
That's what I'm talking about, which is my pre-birthday. My birthday Eve. They should have been thinking about that. look, we got one more song on this playlist, and
this is a newer one. This is a newer one.
This is R.I.P. to the Parking Lot. All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, we are gathered in today for somebody that didn't really did a lot for me and my niggas. Way on the top with me and my niggas. Everybody buy your head and tell the whole city. Rest in peace to the parking lot. Yeah, me and my niggas came and shut that bitch down. You know the club got my name on the parking spot. All of you niggas about to hate on us now. Rest in peace to the parking lot. Yeah, me and my niggas came and shut that bitch down.
R.I.P. to the parking lot. There it is. What does that mean? There's a meaning to that, but I'm looking it up here, and
I don't know. That's a great instance where it's like, there's a song that I don't sing along to. there's a song where I don't understand what's being talked about, but really catchy.
Yes,
the bass goes really hard too. I know it was a little hard to pick up there, but the bass goes really hard on that one too.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, it was that one's good. Oh wait,
that's 2019.
No. Okay, that's not right. Urban Dictionary says the parking lot means the butt, which I don't think is what they're talking about. Yeah, I'm not.
Every time I go on Urban Dictionary to look something, I'm like, okay, clearly this was written by a middle schooler who thinks this is hilarious now.
Right. Yes, 100%. Which is and he's probably nice picturing, they're probably picturing the exact thing that's happening right now of a bunch of guys in their 30s being like, oh, I guess that's what it means.
I love to think like just now some fucking troll, oh my god, just had a grin creep across his face. He doesn't know why. A troll got his fangs. All right, yeah, that song was fun. It's very catchy. I mean, yeah, I like the sound a lot. It was cool. He's still doing it, man.
He's still doing it.
Cool shit. Good for T-Pain. Longevity of a career. And he's gotten so much hate and from like peers. I was reading about I don't remember where this was, but it was like a thing about his like success, but it was like it was a thing about how Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie was like, this is ruining music, and Usher said it too.
Yeah, and Usher said it to his face. I saw a documentary with
T-Pain. I have a clip I can play from that if you want. But
yeah, I would love that. Usher came at him hard.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm pulling that up. One sec.
Yeah, I had a thing here. Damn it. I had like a whole bunch of shit pulled up here and I don't know where it went, but that's fine. Oh, yeah, here it is. It was a thing. He says, I never lost love for Usher. Where did that go? God damn it. There it is. He just made me think about shit a little harder. I thought he was joking and I laughed, but he was like, no, for real. T-Pain added that after he had some time to think about what Usher said, he went into a depression. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. He said, I was going through so much shit already from the initial hate of Auto-Tune. Damn.
Should I play the clip still?
Yeah. Let's hear that clip.
We were actually going to the 2013 BET Awards and we were all in first class and I went to sleep. I was awakened by the flight attendant. She said, Usher would like to talk to you in the back. So I got up and went back and it was like, you know, how's everything going? Quick small talk, no big deal. And he was like, man, I want to tell you something, man. I was like, what's good? I thought he was about to tell me something real. He sounded real concerned. He was like, man, you kind of fucked up music. I didn't understand. Usher was my friend. He was like, nah, man, you really fucked up music for real singers. Literally at that point, I couldn't listen. Is he right? Did I fuck this up? Did I fuck up music? And that is the very moment. And I don't even think I realized this for a long time. That's the very moment that started like a 4-year depression for me.
Damn, such a sad story.
Damn.
I mean, who's like the bad guy there?
Usher.
Yeah.
I think Usher is for sure. And it's tough because it's like, I prefer Usher's music and as a whole, I think to T-Pain's, but it's like, that's such a wild accusation. And it's like, it's not even true, man.
No, it's not true. It's also, it's 2013 at that point. T-Pain's last real big hit was on in like 2011 with DJ Khaled, you know? So it's like, what are we even accomplishing here?
Right.
He's just saying something mean. And I think if like somebody said that to any, like a comedian said that to any other comedian, I know that we're talking about Usher and T-Pain. And it's like, oh, but it's like, if you think like these guys are peers, if someone said that to somebody else, it's just like, you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
And in that documentary, which is, it's really great. It's on Netflix, but the T-Pain goes on to say that, like his wife was just like, I think it sounds good. And that was like enough for him. And it's like, wow, this guy just keeps getting more and more likable that he's like got things in perspective, that he's just going to make music that he likes, that his wife likes. That put so many people on too. He had I don't think it hit number one, but it like went way up the charts and was like ran 2009 with the Lonely Island. He had the boat.
I'm on a boat. Yeah.
And it's like, this guy's so good at what he does. He put a comedy song as being like a staple at parties and clubs and all that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
We can move on. I know we have another segment to get to, but I think the most fucked up part of that story is the fact that he was asleep and they woke him up. They woke him up to tell him that the usher was like, "Hey, flight attendant, go wake him up. I want to ruin his life."
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, he's asleep. Wake him up.
Yeah, this can't wait. This. Yeah.
That is insane. That is,
you know, so it wasn't funny. A one-on-one conversation. You know, there's there's definitely other people around Usher that are awake and just looking at him.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't a private thing where it's like, I think you could improve upon. It was like a mean thing in front of other people to say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And that he thought they were friends. Oh, it's so brutal.
That's so fucked. Yeah. There's another story similar to this one about Jay-Z, because Jay-Z has, I think it's on the Blueprint 3. He has the song Death of Auto-Tune, which is cool. I like that song a lot, but it's clearly a shot at T-Pain. And he says he took it personally. This, like, it made him suicidal. Like, he thought he was done with his life. What the fuck am I doing this for? Then he thought he was going to make amends with Jay-Z at Hot 97's 2009 Summer Jam concert. Jay-Z was scheduled to perform DOA, and Payne wanted to publicly clear the air in front of everybody. However, his plans crashed and burned once he joined Jay-Z on stage. I'm like, this is going to be cool as shit, because I'm going to shake his hand and we're going to squash it in front of everybody. He said, Jay-Z looked at my hand like, good riddance. Like, that is brutal. That he was like, you know, I'm going to do something cool. And then it says T-Pain said that he ran into Jay-Z numerous times following the death of Auto-Tune blunder. And he told a story about a time when he saw the Rock Nation head honcho, the Rock Nation head honcho, and his wife Beyonce at a Grammy after party. Initially, he thought it would be a perfect opportunity to make amends with the rapper, but Payne ultimately found himself in another embarrassing situation. While carrying two cups of Hennessy, he said he tried to tap elbows with Beyonce, but the liquor spilled out of his cup. She hit my elbow and it spilled on her long ass white dress. I did not do good that day.
That is so funny.
It makes me like him more.
I know. Yeah, me we too. Do. Yeah.
This is exactly what I meant. Anytime I learn something more about them, I'm like, this guy is exactly somebody I could be friends with.
Oh my God.
Oh, there's still another...
a drink on Beyonce. That's hilarious. But also, what's Jay-Z in a twist about? Like, he doesn't even sing. Who cares?
It's crazy. Yeah. It's just him trying to. I think that was just Jay-Z, like, reaching to still be cool and, like, I don't know.
It's so easy to make fun of T-Pain for doing something different.
And then it's like, I don't remember. I mean, because Kanye has a whole Auto-Tune album too, obviously.
2010.
And, yeah.
Well, so T-Pain was a consultant on that album.
Yeah.
But there's another fucked up story. I think we brought this up once before on the show, but Kanye literally hired him to help him with that album, and then in the studio was being like clowning on him with everyone else, being like doing auto-tone voice and being like, T-Pain sucks shit, and everyone's laughing. And it's like, you hired him.
Yeah, like, you are doing his thing. Like,
yeah,
and you want to use him to,
and then
do
it went so big and everybody said Kanye's a genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kanye's a genius. This is the greatest album of all time. The songs are good on the album. It's a really great album. No one's going to take that away. But it's like to simultaneously dump on the guy who popularized this entire type of you know, voice mod.
Yeah. And I we talked about this in the Future episode, but then there was a thing with Future where Future's brother was at like a dinner with T-Pain, and T-Pain said, I'm like, oh, I'd love to work with your brother sometime, because Future does auto-tune shit too, and it's like, everyone thinks he's the coolest guy in the world. And the brother was like, he would never fucking work with you, like, all of a sudden he was just like a huge dick to him. And it's like, but he's doing auto stuff.
Yeah, it's like, insane.
And also like,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, but just to call, just straight up, just call it out. T-Pain is a better singer than Kanye. He's a better singer than Future.
For sure.
He's a better singer than, you know, pretty much name it. He's a phenomenal singer. And that's the thing that drove me crazy. And and you know what's the Tiny Desk concert thing that you brought up, Tommy? Mm-hmm. The article, I think it's like, I don't remember what website had it. It was like one of them, maybe it was like Vulture or something, but they wrote like a snarky headline for it that was totally unnecessary. And that's why the internet passed it around, because they were like, wow, T-Pain can actually sing, or like, it's actually good. And it's like, what do people think happened? Because he's not an attractive guy. He's a chubby dude with a top hat and goggles. They weren't like, who cares? He has the look. He doesn't have the look.
Hilarious.
He doesn't have the look. He has to have talent.
Yes, that's so funny. And yeah, he's, you know, it just seems like based on all these stories that he's just like was never like cool with all the other rappers, which yeah. also kind of makes him more endearing. But
absolutely,
he managed to be successful without just having that cool factor. The last
just
thing
comedy
I
nerds, of course, that's appealing.
The last thing I had in my notes was it was just something he's talking about all the people who hate him and how much it affects him, you know. And he's like, people are always like, you're rich. What are you so worried about? He goes, I'm like, money isn't the issue here. Yeah, I can buy shit, but I want people to like me too. God damn. God damn. God damn.
That's really funny. He's just like, yeah, so obviously. That's really funny.
God damn.
I want people to like me. God damn. Oh man, I love that. That's you know, I think that's a great cap to get us into to the Peanut Gallery segment of the show where we hear from the listeners. You know what? I just realized I fucked up. I forgot to post this on the Patreon. My bad, people. But if you want your thoughts guaranteed to be read, get on that Patreon. I did post on Facebook. And we post on Twitter. I know we got some stuff on Twitter, right, Tommy?
Yeah, I can read that while you pull up the Facebook. Yeah, Will said his tiny desk is great. Hard agree. Austin at Typro Negative said T-Pain rules. The video of him doing Fortnite dances in front of a Pickle Rick car to a trap remix of I'm Pickle Rick is wild. And I looked up that video and it delivers what it promises. He is doing Fortnite dances in front of a Pickle Rick car to a Pickle Rick trap song. Past guest, Dwight Simmons, says, oh shit, buy you a drink is all time. He was undeniable from 07 to 10. Mm-hmm. Kath Barbadoro, another past guest, said he rules. I stand with your guest. An entire another says he was unfairly maligned for pioneering a new sound. And then finally, Connor Beals said, play his I'm on a boat verse. I don't think we're going to have time to, but we all love it. And yes. I think we all agree that that's
of
great.
Of course. And the people know it. I think mm-hmm. people who listen to the show know that song. If not, look it up. It's very funny. On Facebook, we got a lot of good stuff here. Ryan Moran, first off, says, so much better than people give him credit for. Amazing live performer, too. That This Is Pop episode on Netflix will change people's minds on him.
100%.
I love it. Stiletto Zamboni commented on that. I just kind of wanted to give him a hug after that episode, then go get a beer with him. Audrey Manning says he likes Steven Universe and that fact sustains me in times of trouble. I don't know what Steven Universe is. Is that like a comic book or some shit?
It's an animated show. Okay. Yeah, I've never watched it, but people love it.
Sounds like you love it. I've heard of it. Akeem Wood says, motherfucker can really sing. Listen to his tiny desk on YouTube. And
this is crazy. Why do people need the tiny desk to know that he can sing? I know that it's good, but he's singing Going Through a Lot. Go back to Going Through a Lot.
Yep.
He's singing the whole time.
But you know why they need it, because they didn't. Those weren't the hits, baby.
Yeah.
So Chad Dinnick tagged a friend of his who he says has a very impressive and slightly scary memory. And here it is. It's Nick Dector. He says, I was part of a comedy show at a casino that was immediately followed by a T-Pain concert. He had five opening acts and got on stage maybe 2 hours after the start of his show. It was really weird because so many of his hits are just him doing a guest verse on someone else's song. So they would do the chorus, his verse, the chorus again, and then move on to the next song. I'll say that he was a fucking incredible performer, dancing his ass off, telling jokes, and singing really well, even without autotune. I left kind of impressed. Look, I gotta say, I think this criticism of him starting 2 hours after the start of the show is not that big of a deal. I think a lot of people do that. That's like pretty, I feel like that's pretty common. I don't know. That wouldn't piss me off that much. I think I would go and expect that a little bit. In fact, like we said about the seeing Bright on the Patreon, when we saw Bright Eyes, they started the show at fucking 5:45 and I was pissed because I was like, oh, that's never happens. I couldn't believe it. I missed like the first two songs of the person I came to see. Bryce DeMuth says, I didn't think much of him until I saw him play Frylock on the live action Aqua Teen episode. I've been a fan ever since. Let's see here. Bill Gavert says, he tells the airplane story about Usher. Kim Nicole says the Epiphany album is the best album ever made. God damn, Kim. That's hilarious.
I don't think it's his best album in my opinion, but
Casey James Salengo says he seems to really not believe in himself, and I find that refreshing.
There you go.
Let's see. Jackie Barron says he destroyed his career with auto-tune, then won a mass singing competition with his real voice. So why didn't he just use his real voice the whole time?
He didn't destroy his career with auto-tune. It was the only way that a guy from Tallahassee, Florida was going to get noticed.
Yeah, it was different. It was innovative. Come on. And also, it's funny that you'd say he won a masked singing competition. Like, yeah, we know the show. Not the mask.
Just one of them.
It was a knockoff. he won the show with Americans proving that they have talent. Jasmine Ellis says he's having a cool little renaissance right now, and people are beginning to realize just how talented he is. But me, I was always a fan. Buy You a Drink was the greatest song of the 2007. Jasmine, you got to proofread this shit. There was not one period in this whole thing, and I know what the hell in the greatest song of the 2007.
That's so funny.
Nico White says one of the goats of my adolescence. That guy's music hits a nostalgia for me that very few artists do. Till this day, I want to put my woman in a mansion somewhere up in Wisconsin. I love that. And then finally, Justin Thompson says he should change his name to T Pleasure.
Tallahassee Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Me and Tommy have low T pain. All right, that's it for the Peanut Gallery. We are here for our final segment, which is where we rate and review the playlist. But first, Ryan, you get to give your final thoughts on T pain. You have the floor.
Thank you so much. I would just want to say thank you, Tom and Tom, for having me. I want to say about T-Pain, how can you, Webster's Dictionary defines T-Pain as, look, he's great. He's just great. Okay. He's just great. He makes hits. People put him on. This is the thing that drives me nuts about T-Pain, is that people would put him on their song to do the thing that makes them a success, and then simultaneously kind of keep him at arm's distance and not completely welcome him in to what they're doing. And that you see that with Kanye and with, you know, Flo Rida, Low, that was an enormous hit. DJ Khaled, I think, actually appreciated it. And that's why Win is so, all I do is Win is so fun. Jamie Foxx, he put out the Jamie Foxx Blame It on the Alcohol song. That alone, I feel like, is enough to defend him. And so basically, I just say the T-Pain is a great singer. He's a great producer. He has a lot of really underrated songs, a lot of songs that we didn't even get to that are really fun, really great, where he uses his regular voice. The auto-tune thing was incredibly innovative. It had its moment, and it put so many people on and put a ton of money in people's pockets. And it brought all of us, whether you liked it or not, I know that sometimes it can be overplayed and annoying. It's just fun. It's just fun. So T-Pain, thank you for making fun music.
Hey, well, beautiful. Put. Very well put.
Tommy, you go first this time.
Oh, nope. All right. We both. All right. I'll go first. And like I said, this is not an art. This is an artist that I did find to be overplayed sometimes. But I think you made a lot of great points. I think you did a great job with the playlist, because the only song that I feel like I was like I had to hear too much on this playlist is In Love with a Stripper. And even that song is not bad. And I was reading about it, and he was like, yeah, this song was a joke. And Big Boy walked in the room while we were fucking around and heard it and was like, that's a hit. And so, you know, I don't blame him for doing it. It's a fun song. It's not always my cup, but I really enjoyed the songs where we got to hear him singing. I thought 5 o'clock was fun. I really enjoyed this. Yeah, RIP to the Parking Lot, I thought was just all right, but I still, you know, I didn't hate it, and it was cool to hear that he's still doing shit, and it did sound overall good. I'm going to go with a solid 4 out of 6 on this one. I think that's where I'm living at. Still high score, 4 out of 6. I found him very endearing. I will say that, like you said, Ryan, The more I learned about him today, the more I liked him. And I feel for him. I hate that Usher did that to him. And it feels like Usher's a fucking bully. And that sucks because he seems like a good guy. So 4 out of 6. Tommy, what you think?
5 out of 6. Tommy's a bitch.
Now I understand why. So you picked your score before the show?
No, I just did that. Did you see me leaning over while you were talking? And I had the speaker already on, which is why it like double tracked and echoed and sounded weird as hell.
I was going to say that was not created with the licensed I am T-Pain app or the second variation.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Ryan, you also get to rate the playlist out of 6. What do you got?
Well, I created the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that I don't think he's the greatest artist of all time. I think he has a wonderful voice that is really fun, great music. Okay. I don't know who I would give a 6 out of 6 to, but I'm going to give him a 5 out of 6.
Okay. Fair enough.
Love it.
I want to be objective here, and like, it's really great music. It's not what I put on every single day, but when I do put it on, I'm in a good mood.
So much fun.
Yes.
Give the people the details about the album recording one more time. We're so excited for it.
Yes. Thank you. And that is Thursday, August 19th at Union Hall. You can get tickets on the unionhallny.com website or on my Linktree. Find me at I Am Ryan Beck. There's plenty of information that I've been blasting out there for you to find it. I hope that people in the greater New York, Brooklyn area will come out. I would love to see you. If anybody listens to this, comes to the show and lets me know, I will personally buy you a drink.
Well done.
Promise. Yeah. I promise.
All right. Tommy, you got anything?
Yeah, me and Luke are doing our show again August 20th, the night after. So just go to Union Hall for the 19th, sleep over, and stick around for me and Luke's
show.
They
encourage that.
Yeah,
it's a good way to get in for free. If you just stay in your seat, do not move, they cannot kick you out. You have
Yeah, and then September 9th, I'm in Boston doing a Hideout Comedy at the White Bull Tavern. Maybe. And September 14th, I'll be headlining Zanies in Chicago. So come out to that.
Oh, yeah.
When's this coming out?
This is coming out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Well, I'm in Indianapolis Friday and Saturday.
Ooh. There you go. Go see Ryan in Indianapolis. Are you at the Helium?
No.
Oh, all right. Don't go.
Crackers.
Oh, Jared was right. You are a cracker.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Ryan Beck. And keep it crispy. Bye.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.